Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. Right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got Jim Traver coming up at 9:30. We kind of ping-ponged around with him. I thought he was going to start the show, and then he texted me yesterday and said, all right, back to normal time if that's okay. So we're back to normal, 9:30 today. Here's the deal. I know we had tons of high school hoops, right? I know we did.
Yeah, did you get all those scores?
Tons of it. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow because here's why. You know what happens today, Jared?
A bunch of coaches get fired.
That's in the NFL.
Yeah, right.
Today, the rankings lock in A and B.
Yes.
So the rankings today that will come out this afternoon will give us a peek into what's going to happen down the road on what? Friday. I think Friday's when they release the pairings. Yes. So we're going to hit high school hoops completely tomorrow because it's Monday and we just don't have time for it all, right? So I want to devote our whole attention to the high school basketball stuff, and with those rankings in Class A and B getting locked in, I think it'll just make for more seamless transitions, if that makes any sense. So we're going to do that. We're going to hit that tomorrow with all the tournaments and then how everybody did and whatnot. We got the college football national title game tonight, Georgia-Bama. We really haven't even talked about that yet. We'll hit that before Jim comes on. And then, of course, NFL this weekend. Crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was just crazy weekend. We were like one smartest guy in the room screw up away from like utopia in my mind. But, of course, Brandon Staley is smarter than everybody else, and so he messed it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like the smartest guy that's just not in on the inside joke, and he screws it up. To me, that's what happened last night between the Chargers and the Raiders. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch with us on KADSAM.com. Also, download the Paragon app. The app has everything. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News in there. Check out the deals online, thepennynews.com, through that app. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. What a weekend it was all across Western Oklahoma for both of those. It was just tons of games from Thursday to Saturday. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast on iTunes and KADSAM.com. How was your weekend, Jared?
Busy on, well, I'd say that. Busy on Saturday and recoup and recover on Sunday yesterday. To watch a lot of that football yesterday. A lot of football. A lot of basketball Saturday, a lot of football watching on Sunday. So, I was a little productive at home. It wasn't too cold to do anything outside, so I do what I never really do, and that was clean the house inside.
Way to go.
Yeah. I kind of got a little cleaning kick. So I just didn't really feel like sitting down. So the first part of the day I was doing that until the football really kicked in, and then I was able to sit down and enjoy all that. How's your weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. Went to Hinton on Saturday.
How'd it go?
It went good. Second time this year that both teams won in the same day. Outside the Garden City and the tip-off Invitational earlier here at Elk City was the first time. And then Saturday the second time with the Elks beating Burns Flat Dill City by 2. Man, they had that game in complete control. And then all of a sudden, Burns Flat Dill City flew back in it. Like, whoa.
Seen them. They played Canoe. They're a tough.
Listen, that Flores dude is good.
Yeah.
The lefty. Mm-hmm. That guy can play. And the Elks had some guys out on the floor at the end. That's what Coach Stevens said afterwards. He's like, you know, we kind of Coach Keys and I looked at each other and like, whoa, look who's out there trying to close this game. It just, with fouling out and a couple guys that weren't there for various reasons, it just, but that's just good experience down the line. You know, sophomore Blake Redd knocked down a free throw on a 1-1 up three with like 20 seconds left. And then the Elks got a steal and knocked down another one. You know, just they did just enough to win. And so it's a good, it's always better in my mind for the teaching moments.
Yeah.
To come in wins, then you blew a 13-point fourth quarter lead.
Right.
You know what I mean? But anyhow, so I did that. Hung out Saturday night. Watched a bunch of Triple D.
Hey.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't even watch the Cowboys hardly at all. I mean, it just didn't interest me with the backups for Philly. I mean, that's what should have happened.
The blowout should have happened, yeah.
Yeah. And then
I had it on. Was it like a regular, normal watching occurrence for me,
right?
Not really. It was just on, you know.
Yeah, it'd be a lot different on Sunday.
We were with one kid on Saturday. The other one went to a sleepover. My youngest went to her first sleepover.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was expecting a 1 a.m. call to come get her.
Yeah.
Never happened. Never. She
way
did
to go,
great.
James.
She did great. So just me and Allie and Katie. And Katie played some basketball Saturday, and she did really well. The team did great. And I said, hey, you know, it's just us three. Katie, where do you want to go to eat dinner? Because it was dinner time when the games were over. I said, where do you want to go? And she mentioned an establishment in Canute.
Oh, yeah.
They were closed.
Oh, well, darn it.
On a Saturday. I said, where else do you want? She goes, well, I want pizza. So let's go Pizza Hut. So went to Pizza Hut, able to watch basically the second half of the OU game, boys, men. Good win for them, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
And then the start of the Dallas game. And like I said, when we got home, I had it on. But I could see how it was going. Like, okay, Dak's going to be done by the second half. This is quite apparent what's going to happen here. Like, a lot of guys are going to sit, which is exactly what Dallas needed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Bounce back from that Arizona loss. Beat a team you should beat. Beat them like that and get your guys out of there and get them ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what happens.
So, by the way, I know we're talking basketball tomorrow, but I owe you a burrito.
Yeah.
I
sure
just,
do.
Yeah, I forgot I had to do Exploring Energy this morning, so
that's
I was
okay.
Kind of rushing
Listen,
to get
that's
here.
Okay. Honestly, that was I listened to a bunch of that game coming home.
Yeah.
And Arepo Butler's good. That wasn't why I made that bet. You gave me two higher-ranked teams.
Well, look, they got a good win over LaKeeba Sickles.
That's right.
And that's why I was very confident about Arepo.
Yeah, that
very confident.
Yeah, you gave me LaKeeba and Ampo.
Right.
So I had to take the bet.
I understand.
And no odds. It wasn't like three burritos for me versus one for you.
Just straight up, yeah.
All right, NFL this weekend, final regular season weekend of the final regular season weekend. And, man, the games that you wanted to be good, the games that mattered, were good.
They were.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore, I would love for somebody to go back. Maybe Jim will know this when he comes on here in a little bit. I would love to know how many games Pittsburgh has won with Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback like that. I mean, they had no business winning that game, you know, but they just hung around. I mean, Ben is clearly washed, and he makes some of the most ridiculously horrible throws at times. But then all of a sudden you look up, and he's driving them down, and he makes a couple of good throws, and they score a touchdown to take the lead, and, you know, all is right with the world, and they end up winning in overtime. 16-13. So that was happening. As that was happening, the dream scenario was starting to unfold.
Yes.
And that was Jacksonville just dominating Indianapolis. Indianapolis, really? How fast can you fall from grace? No, they did their job. Thank you.
Well,
because last night was awesome because of you.
It made that, yeah.
How fast can he? I mean, 3 weeks ago, they were everybody's, ooh, don't want to see that team in the AFC playoffs. And now you're not even there. You blow the Raiders game. You blow that one. It don't even hardly show up against Jacksonville. So Indy is out. And that leads us into the afternoon. And you text our little group there. Those AFC West games were phenomenal. Just great. Down to the wire. You know, and Seattle beats Arizona 38-30. And then after falling behind 17-0, the San Francisco 49ers come back and beat the Rams in overtime, 27-24. Matthew Stafford at the end with just an egregious underthrow of a wide-open Odell Beckham for the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
And then, so that put San Francisco in the playoffs. New Orleans was probably
crushed.
By the
way, Odell, that's one you can blame the quarterback on.
Yeah, or he didn't see the ball and he didn't even fight for it, whatever. But San Francisco had to win because New Orleans won. And so, you know, how funny is it the Rams, think back to a couple years ago in that NFC title game where the non-call on the pass interference, Saints fans going to sue the league or whatever. Guess what? The Rams are still sticking it to the Saints with a meltdown to allow them not to make the playoffs. And then we get to last night. And I'm so glad that Collinsworth and Al Michaels didn't avoid the elephant in the room.
Right.
And the elephant in the room was if the Chargers and Raiders tie, they both go to the playoffs. Now, and I don't think that bothered anything until overtime. And really until the Chargers had kicked the field goal to tie the game again. At that point, didn't you think it was, especially when the Raiders got the first down. So they get a first down. Now you can tell, okay, they're going to be able to run this thing down really close to the 2-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what happens? And as they're getting down to the 2-minute warning, they have the third down. They complete the pass for a first down to Zay Jones at like the 45-yard line of the Chargers. So it's still
out there,
out of range. And the 2-minute warning sounds before the Raiders run their first down play. At that point, I had no doubt in my mind this game's going to be a tie.
Yeah, me too.
And even so they run it up the middle. Jacobs didn't even look like he was trying. He just kind of ran up, got tackled, and fell down. Second down was similar. So then you get, as the clock ticks down, and so if you're Staley, I don't want to hear any of this getting the package on, getting the right, who knew they're going to run it. Why didn't you have it out there in the first place? And you let, 38 seconds tick off of the play clock or whatever, 34 or whatever it was. So the game clock gets down to 38 on the third down play, and then the Chargers call a timeout. And you could tell Collinsworth was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is he like things just changed here? It's like everybody kind of knew the deal, right? We're all knowing the deal here, Staley. We're going to run it one more time, and then that's going to be the end of the game. And we're both going to go to the playoffs.
Right.
And when he called that timeout, you could hear Collinsworth in his voice like, wait a minute.
What are you doing?
He just messed up. Now he's signaling to the Raiders, hey, you're going to run another play. And he even said this. You run another play. If you don't get a first down, we're calling timeout again to try to get the ball back for a, you know, whatever, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that made the Raider, I don't know. I mean, they still just ran it up the middle. But I also think the effort that the Raiders played that third down play with was a hell of a lot different than the first two.
Yeah.
I mean, they had offensive linemen just kind of standing up, you know. And so Jacobs breaks a couple tackles and gets into field goal range. And then at that point, they've got to kick it.
Yeah.
So Staley just completely screwed that up. Completely. I mean, that loss is on him. He's Mr. Analytic. He's Mr. Let's go for it on fourth down, which a lot of that stuff doesn't bother me at all. I mean, going for it at down three on your own 18, okay, whatever. That's just what they do. And if they get it, and I mean, they even showed the percentages last night after that play. They had a 35% chance to win. If they convert that fourth to one, it goes up 10 percentage points. You know, I mean, that was a great illustration of the why. Mm-hmm. It's all numbers based. It's period, end of story. And it's one of those things where we talked about it a little bit, probably not enough, but the down 14 in the fourth quarter thing where you should go for two after you score the first touchdown. Notice he did it last night, down 15, but he went for two first. That way he knew what he had to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then I got to think, wow, is he going to go for it? Is he going to try to win the game? Obviously, they kicked the field goal and went to overtime. But it was like the smartest guy in the room didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
And he totally screwed it up, and he totally screwed his team up.
Even fans had signs that take the tie.
Take the tie.
They're even showing that on TV. Take the tie. You know, and I was glad that it wasn't a powder puff football game to start You know,
they, oh no, they it was for real.
To play some football,
it was for real in regulation.
I was
for
glad,
sure.
And I saw a theory somebody put out about why they should play instead of just taking knees or whatever. But when it went to overtime, I thought, okay, we're going to start seeing that soft football to start things off, or you know, and it really wasn't that way either till right there.
Yeah.
And even Derek Carr said in the postgame interview, they said that timeout changed the complexity. It's like, oh, it changed everything.
Yeah,
he said it changed what we were going to do.
There's a video of
yes,
number 47, whoever that is on the Raiders, talking to Austin Ekeler, and he says, dude, we were going to run the clock out. And you can see Ekeler go, what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, wasn't it obvious, though?
Yeah, it was.
Like it. I mean, I get it from the Raiders. The Raiders were the one, to me, that were kind of in the bad spot. Because if they give the ball back, they've got no guarantees that the Chargers are going to fall down.
Right.
So they've got to move it.
It makes me, I don't know. I mean, I get it. Football's a sport. You got to play. You play the game. But, you know, you see coaches pregame talking with each other. You know, and I've always wondered, what do they talk about without tipping their hand? You know, hey, how's your family? Hey, how's
right.
the kids? How's this? Hey, how's your boy over there? He got hurt. Oh, I'm not telling. You know, I mean, I always wondered, did they get together before the game? I mean, you see what I'm saying? So, hey, in this scenario, if we go to overtime, you guys just want to kneel on it?
Gosh, obviously not. I mean, here's Drew just texted in. Rich Bisaccia admitted they were going to take the tie.
Right.
They were clearly, once they got the first down and they got to snap it after the 2-minute warning on first down, it was obvious what was happening to everybody in America except Brandon Staley. And so then if you are Bisaccia and you are the Raiders and you see this guy call timeout, it's got to change your thinking. You're like, wait a minute. We're sitting here. I mean, it looked, you know what it looked like? That first run from Jacobs. You remember in the A&M-OU game in 2003 when it was 77-0 and they hand it to Donta Hickson and he just kind of walks to the line and Johnny Jolly slams him down? I mean, he's clearly just giving himself up. He's not trying to score. No
right.
way in the world is he trying
right.
to get to 80. That's
yeah,
what this looked – that's what Josh Jacobs looked like. He was so just giving him – I guess maybe if you want to try to give Staley a pass, then why – if the Raiders were – why didn't they just take a knee?
Right.
I guess that's the only thing. But they essentially were without – because both teams had two timeouts. If you literally take a knee, then you might have to catch some grief about it. But if you run some plays, I mean, as the time ticks off, everybody knew the deal except for the smartest guy out there. And Staley, listen, coaches are being fired. There's been four so far. You know
– Okay, let me ask you this.
I'm not sure that's not a fireable offense. He literally cost his team making the playoffs.
If there was a tie, clearly the Steelers are out.
That's
right.
Who yes.
would have played the Chiefs?
God, they had that up there a couple of times.
I couldn't remember.
It was the Chargers. Chargers would have played the Chiefs, and the Raiders would have played
Bills,
Buffalo, or Cincinnati. I can't remember which. I think it was Bills.
I wonder if when it came down to it, they said, you know, we would rather play the Bengals than the Bills, so let's go for the win.
Yeah, but if you're the Chargers, you can't win the game.
No, I mean the Raiders.
No, it would. They wouldn't have had to play the Chiefs. Yeah, they would have.
The Raiders?
Yeah, golly, can't remember what the way
like,
that went.
It's an easier path for us in the playoffs if we win this thing.
Yeah, I know. That's,
you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying.
Instead of being nice and going, hey, well, let's both punch our tickets tonight and let's go celebrate on the strip.
You
know what I mean?
Even kicking the field goal, there's no upside. Like, only bad things can happen. You know, and I think this is a perfect – like, when you watch – Belichick. Dude, there's no doubt Belichick takes that tie. No doubt. Because the risk isn't worth the reward.
Yeah.
The risk is you don't even make the playoffs if something crazy happens. It's and you're in if nothing happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. And then you figure out a way to go beat Kansas City or whatever. Having a chance to go beat Kansas City is a lot better than setting it home.
Well, yeah.
You know, and that's where – you know, you just the risk assessment for Brandon Staley just wasn't there. It does him no good to call a timeout there, especially when he let 38 seconds tick off the play clock. If you want to do it, call it immediately when the guy gets tackled.
I was just happy that the last game of the regular season was not a dud.
No.
And it went to overtime.
I mean,
it was as good as the first game.
I don't know how they didn't just put a little box in the corner on those two guys with Steeler jerseys that were in the stadium. College football national title game is tonight. Bama versus Georgia. Rematch of the SEC title game this year. It's also a game where these two played for the title, back in 2017? The 2017 season, I guess 2018 when the game actually happened. Alabama dominated the final, 2.5 quarters of that SEC title game over Georgia, 41-24, I think was the final score there. Bryce Young, after looking pretty flustered early against that Georgia defense, figured things out. And I've heard some interesting thoughts about this game. And when you look at you go back and look at the stats from that SEC title game itself, the downs that Georgia blitzed Bryce Young, he did nothing. The downs where they didn't, he eviscerated them. And the problem for Georgia is this. They're not a blitzing team. So that's kind of out of their DNA to blitz. Now, they create pressure. They create havoc. But a lot of times it's because they've got those four monsters on the defensive line, right? And so, you know, it's kind of a cat and mouse game. But I think the game is on the other side. I think the game is all about, can Stetson Bennett do anything against Alabama? Listen, everybody's riding high about what he did to Michigan. He was throwing screens, man. He didn't throw the ball down the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like anybody, I could have went out there and thrown a bunch of those passes he threw. Just throw it straight sideways, watch a guy go make a play. You know, and he's not going to be able to do that against Alabama. And so, to me, for Georgia to win this game tonight, a lot of it is on Stetson Bennett's shoulders.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And Alabama's just going to do what Alabama does. You know, just set off air about a team that's a well-oiled machine. That's Alabama in a nutshell. When that SEC title game happened, and I was at a birthday party, so the other people were there watching, and they're just acting like they're shocked that Alabama was doing that to Georgia. I'm thinking, you're shocked that Nick Saban and Alabama is dominating again? Come on. So, didn't shock me, and it wouldn't shock me if it happened again tonight.
A question on the text line, are you surprised that Georgia's a favorite? I'm actually not, because think about going into that game on Championship Saturday. I mean, I know what you're saying is, oh yeah, we shouldn't be shocked that Alabama did it. But quite honestly, nobody thought they were going to. You know, Georgia had been dominant all year long.
Right.
And I think maybe that's why.
And I was high on them.
And here's the thing. We were talking about this. I think Coach Hamm and I were talking about the game at Hinton this week. And he's like, what do you think? And I said, you know what? I think Georgia's the better team. But I don't know if they can beat Alabama. You know what I mean? That's just and to me, this is the first time where you could, man, where you can almost make a case. Even the Clemson teams that won the title games, going into it, I don't think anybody really thought they were better than Alabama, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the first time where, well, they're obviously the underdog, Alabama is. But it seems like Georgia's better. I just don't know if they can beat them. And they haven't. You know when the last time Georgia beat Alabama? Now, they don't play all the time, which is a big problem with the scheduling in the SEC. But
I can't remember.
2007, okay. Nick Saban's first season. They beat him 26-23. Since then, Bama's won 7 straight over Georgia, dating back to 08.
You mentioned Clemson in when they went up against Alabama. They were not, correct me if I'm wrong, not the favorites in those games.
I don't think so.
They came in with that swagger. And I think a big reason of that was because they weren't the favorite. And now that's what Alabama's doing. I think that's the worst thing you could have done right here is to tell Alabama, you're the underdog in this game.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because I agree with that. But you know what? All the revenge is on Georgia's side because of the SEC title game.
Right.
Here's the difference to me in what Clemson brought to the table and what Georgia brought to the table. Clemson brought Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence to the table at the quarterback spot. Georgia's bringing Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, do we really think Stetson Bennett, the fourth, is going to be the team that brings down Alabama in the title game?
There's a reason why Georgia is courting Caleb Williams so hard.
I mean, come on, man. I just don't see it. It's a cool story. I mean, you think about the quarterback matchup, a walk-on versus the five-star. You know, it's the Heisman winner against this guy that sounds like he ought to be playing golf or tennis instead of football at Georgia with his name and all that.
Yeah.
I really do think Georgia's better, except for I don't trust Stetson Bennett to beat Alabama. Come on. There's no way in the world I'm going to take that.
It's a big, big stage, and if Alabama can force him to make mistakes, yeah, that is the X factor, is Bennett for Georgia.
Has there been a more underachieving, what everybody thinks, great program than Georgia? You know their last national title?
80.
You know how many conference titles they've won since Herschel Walker was the running back?
I'm going to say zero.
Three. They won in 2017, 2005, and 2002 after winning three SEC titles in a row with Herschel Walker from 80 to 82. Whew. And Alabama has been their nightmare, man.
Yeah. They've been living in their shadow for a long time. Are we picking this?
Go ahead.
I think it's Alabama. And it was Dakota. I'm agreeing with him. I think he'll be about two touchdowns. Yeah.
I want to pick Georgia so bad.
I think it's
going to
be tight
bad.
For about a half, and then Alabama's going to be Alabama.
I want to pick Georgia so bad, I just know better. I'll think about it. Joined now by the voice you'll hear right here on these airwaves at 2 o'clock, our resident Steeler fan. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing great. We were talking off the air, but golly, last night, I can't even imagine being a fan of the Steelers and not having any say in what was going on. You did your job earlier with the overtime win against the Ravens, but watching that overtime unfold those last couple of minutes, and then it gets down to the end of the game, Staley calling the crazy timeout, just kind of give us your emotions and what you were watching, knowing that a tie would keep your team out of the playoffs.
Well, the thing that was crazy the most was the Chargers keep getting 4th and 9, 4th and 10, 4th and 9. You know, all they have to do is just not get one of those, and the game's over. And, you know, what are the – I mean, what, there's like 700 and something football games a year. How many ties were there? Like 3? Maybe 2? You know, so you're thinking, oh, that's just going to be crazy. And then I was going crazy. There's no doubt. The way the thing went down, field goal and then the other field goal, I thought, this has ended in a tie. I mean, why in the world would anybody want to – they don't need to win, you know. And Julie said to me, well, you know, athletes want to win. I said, sure they do, but if you just hand the ball off, ain't nothing against the athlete. And then, of course, my man Brandon Staley calling a timeout for some stupid reason. There's no doubt that the Raiders are running it down. And basically Raiders said, okay, you're going to do that. We'll kick the dang field goal. So, yeah, that was some crazy stuff, fellas. It really was. I couldn't believe I was going through it. And, you know, look, I cut a video on Instagram last night that just said, talked about, you know, how I was feeling and things. And, of course, I'm getting messages from people, well, now the Chiefs are going to kick your butt. I know the Steelers don't have a whole bunch of a chance. I understand that. But what this organization did this year is unbelievable. For them to be in the playoffs with that pathetic offense that they've got going is absolutely amazing. So you got people, y'all can all go ahead and rip on the Steelers all you want. They're the best organization in the history of the league. No one can deny it. They're amazing. And for them to be with most teams would have been about 4-13 this year. You know they would have. With that offense, all the injuries, people getting COVID just like everybody else, they would have been terrible, and somehow they get in the playoffs. So. And by the way, with that defense, you never know what can happen. You never know. We'll see. I just hope that I hope that Matt Canada, who I hope is fired after the end of the year, after 1 year as the offensive coordinator, I hope that he comes out throwing the ball. You know, just running crap ain't working. They can't run the ball at all.
Yeah, I like that. Speaking of the Steelers and particularly Big Ben, yesterday I loved his moxie. You give him a chance, he's going to take it. I think that's very cool, a cool storyline for him coming into these playoffs. Just give him a chance. You never know what could happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to be with you. I mean, I think that they're in trouble. Just a few weeks ago, Kansas City just obliterated them. Maybe that's a good thing, though. I don't know. But if I would have told you at the beginning of the season that the Steelers were going to sweep the Ravens and sweep the unbelievable Browns and that Cincinnati was going to win the division, you guys would have put me in a home, fellas. I mean, that is what a crazy division that was this year. But we'll see. Listen, every team has a chance. Look at yesterday with Jacksonville against the Colts. But I think that Kansas City is on a little bit of a mission. They've been playing a whole bunch better. So I think it'll be a really tough game for the Steelers. But, you know, it was hard, man. I felt like a Thunder fan all year long because I really wanted them to get the best draft pick they can get. But, I mean, it's hard for me not to cheer for them to win. So amazing that they won that game. Absolutely amazing.
How many games, it's impossible to go back and know this off the top of your head, obviously, but it seems like two or three times a year in Big Ben's time there at the Steelers, they end up winning a game that they really didn't have much business winning. Like yesterday, I mean, he was pathetic for a bunch of it, and then all of a sudden they get the ball right about midfield, and you're thinking, this is their chance right now. They have to go do it. And he throws a couple of really nice passes, and they go score a touchdown, and you know then they had to come back and do it again in overtime. But it feels like as much as anybody else in the league, those two teams, the Steelers and Ravens, have made kind of a trademark on winning those ugly games that they have no business winning, and Big Ben's been a huge part of that for all these years with the Steelers.
Yeah, that was the seventh time this year that the Steelers came from behind in the fourth quarter to win a game. Seventh. They by far led the league in that. I don't know. I don't understand it. He knows how to win, dude. I mean, he does. He knows how to win the games. That's what he is. And but he is not any good anymore. And then he comes out and throws that pass that he threw to Freiermuth on the sideline. I mean, that was unbelievable. It was literally perfect pass. And then fourth down, they get it. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it to you. But he figures out ways. That's what he does. And for them to be in the playoffs is absolutely amazing. It really is.
Looking at the brackets, what are a game or two that are really kind of the ones that you look at and pick out as the ones that you've got to be sitting down in front of the TV to watch here in this first week?
Well, I got to tell you honestly, dude, I got no idea who's playing who. I mean, I was so fired up last night after that game. Then I went to sleep. Then I just woke up a little while ago. I do know that your Cowboys got really lucky, I think. I mean, that you know that they didn't have to play the Rams or the Cardinals. That all that, you know, they play the now it's not going to be easy because the 49ers defense is really good and Ethan Garoppolo really played well at the end of that game. But your Cowboys, I think, got a great. And I don't know, you know, they beat another wonderful Gardner Minshew the other Saturday, so we'll see if they can come through. I think they probably beat San Francisco, then their time's over. But I can't even remember who the heck's playing each other, guys. I mean, tell me a couple of games. I know all the Steelers. I know that who is it? Gosh, I can't even remember who's playing each other.
Let's see. Bills, Pats, Bengals, Raiders, Rams, Cardinals, Dallas, San Francisco, and Tampa Bay, and Philly.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, Philly is, I don't know. Some people are trying to get Philly had a nice year. I give it up to them. I doubt it. The Bills and the Pats is one that I think is really fun, you know, because obviously they're in the same division. Patriots got beat in a big situation yesterday. So, I don't know, maybe their time's kind of coming to the end. But I think the playoffs in the NFC is going to be unbelievable because I still think the Rams could win it. I really do. Maybe it's because I picked them at the beginning of the year. And then I think that the Packers are obviously the best team in the NFC. But boy, if you don't, can't count Tom Brady out. I think your Cowboys, I just don't know if they're good enough. If they're sound defensively enough, if they play a quarterback that's good and not going to give them the ball. But if they get their turnovers, they're really good. So it'll be a lot of great football. I'm not sold on the Bengals yet, really, to go real long ways, but they might. But it's going to be It's going to be great, man. I love the NFL playoffs, and I think they're going to be even better this year.
Who do you think – I know you said you haven't really studied the bracket. Who do you think has the hardest path to maybe get to the Super Bowl? Has to be the NFC, right?
Yeah, the NFC is ridiculous, yeah.
Pretty much say anybody outside the Packers.
Yeah, I think that the entire NFC is just going to be one crazy game after another. Like, I haven't seen any lines yet. I don't know if you guys have seen the line. But the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys can beat. I mean, I think they're the better team probably overall. But they better come to play. I mean, they better come to play. Because, like I said, the 49ers, they look like they're on a little bit of a mission. I think Tampa's got a tough road. I mean, just because they got to try to beat Green Bay. And then the AFC, like I said, I don't know. I mean, who's the best team? I don't think Tennessee is going to be in the Super Bowl. I just don't. I know they're getting they're getting Henry back and everything, but I'm just not sold on them, man. I don't know. I watch them play, and I think, yeah, they're good, but I don't know what it is. So I think Kansas City's got a really good chance to go to the Super Bowl again. And then I think in the NFC, I'll be shocked. I will be really surprised if Green Bay doesn't go.
All right, lines. Bengals are 6-point favorite over the Raiders, opening last night at least. Bills 4.5 over the Pats. Buccaneers 8.5 over the Eagles. The Cowboys is the smallest line, only a 3-point favorite against San Francisco. Chiefs 13 over your Steelers, and then Rams -4 against the Cardinals. So the two largest are the Chiefs and the Steelers, and the Buccaneers and the Eagles, the smallest two, Rams, Cardinals, and Cowboys, 49ers, as far as the lines go.
Yeah, the Colts, by the way, were favored by 14. You never know.
It's been that kind of year in the NFL. You just, about the time you think you have it figured, it goes crazy. All right, tonight. College football playoff championship game. Before we get into the game itself, I threw this at Jared this weekend. So I get why this game has been on Monday in the past, because normally the weekend we just came off of was the wild card round for the NFL. Now that they've extended the regular season by a week, this game has to change to the Saturday we just went by, right? I mean, it's got to be that Saturday night as opposed to this Monday night, because the playoffs in the NFL don't start until the week after.
Well, I mean, but if the NFL is going to run games on Saturday, why would you go against it? I mean, I totally understand why this game should be on Monday. I don't disagree with you very often, Skinny, but I think this is the perfect time. Not to mention, you give the two teams that are the best two teams in the country, you give them 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, you give them 10 days to get ready. I actually like the way this is. I think it's really cool that you have the entire NFL like crazy, and then now we got something else tonight. There's no letdown. So I love it tonight. I think it's the perfect night to have it. I really do.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, the Fat Jack made a great plea for Georgia, because, you know, why are they favored? Why have they continued to be favored? I mean, it's a really good point, but I'm going with Alabama. I mean, I might be end up being wrong, but I just think Alabama, I truly believe that when Georgia lines up and they come out on the field and they look across and see that it's Alabama, I think automatically they're down 3 points, maybe even 7. I just think this is a mental thing. Alabama's got a mental thing on just about everybody. And I think Georgia's one of them. So, I mean, look, I will tell you this. If Kirby Smart decides that he's going to rush 4 guys in this game, then they're done. They're going to have to put pressure on the guy. If they don't put pressure on him, then they're in big trouble. And they put no pressure on him in the game before, and he obliterated them. So I think that's the key to the game, if they can get to him. If they can get to Bryce Young, then they got a chance. But if they don't, they're going to lose. I mean, you can't just let big-time quarterbacks and big-time wide receivers, you know, run all over the field.
Yeah, I was hearing this weekend the stats in that first game in the title game between when Georgia blitzed Bryce Young, he did nothing. When they rushed the 4, he just eviscerated them. And, you know, that first quarter, it felt like Georgia kind of had him on the ropes, had him seeing different things, but then he settled in with a long drive right there in the middle of the second quarter, and from there it was lights out. Alabama was just awesome from then on, so I think that's a great point. Does, you know, your Georgia, to me, I just look up there and I go, really? Stetson Bennett is going to be the guy that propels them to win a national title against Alabama? I just don't see it with Stetson Bennett as the quarterback.
Well, he's a nice player. I mean, you give him credit for the story that he has and everything, but he's certainly not a star. That whole thing has been crazy down there. I mean, you know, as you guys well know, I know Tom Bunkin, the offensive coordinator, really well. And, you know, he was kind of thinking at the beginning of the year, okay, he's going to be able to do some great things with Daniel. Daniels get hurt, Bennett comes in, and they win. Well, you know what? I could have won with that team. I mean, come on. Now, again, I'm not saying Bennett's a bad quarterback, but can he make big plays? Can he make big plays? I'll tell you this. If they get down 17-3 or something like that, they better think seriously about bringing in Daniels and throwing the ball. I don't know if they will, but they better it's hard to think about it because I just don't know if he can bring them from behind. He's a good football player, but I don't know if he can win a national championship. Maybe Georgia is so good defensively and in other places, offensive line, that he can win one. But if those parts don't play well, then I don't know how they're going to get after. I don't know how they're going to win it with him. I really don't.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about who has the edge. You alluded to it. You said it. I think the mental edge is clearly for Alabama. But it's still crazy to me that Georgia's favored in this game. That's the last thing you want if you're a Georgia fan. Now you just gave a ton of motivation to Alabama.
Yeah, well, that's what Fat Jack, though. Fat Jack follows it according to the betting lines. I mean, Vegas is telling you they think Georgia's going to win, and I understand that. I'm going to tell you right now, if Alabama wins, Vegas is going to lose a lot of money because 80% of the money is on Alabama. But you're right. I'm sure that Nick Saban is going, look, we beat these dudes. We beat them to a pulp, and they still don't think we're any good. Let's go show them once and for all that we're the best team in the country. You know, one of the biggest problems I have, guys, is what is wrong with losing on the road in a fairly close game to Texas A&M? I mean, when Alabama lost that game, you saw Mark Rogers made that bet with me, and everybody's like, they're done. Well, we had some other games that were close. I understand that. And look, I don't think Alabama's as good as they've been in the past, especially defensively. But my goodness, man, it's almost like when you want somebody to be bad, you kind of will them to be bad, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is. And everybody was willing Alabama to be, oh, there, look at this. They lost A&M, and they barely beat so-and-so. They're not very good. Okay. Well, guess what? They're in the championship game again.
Is it – you mentioned the supporting cast around Bennett. And I think most of us going into that SEC title game thought Georgia was going to win. And so, you know, fast forward a month and a half to now, to tonight, are we putting too much stock into that one game versus the dominance that Georgia – was able to show throughout the entire season, or does it just come down to, hey, they just didn't play Alabama till the end?
Well, we'll probably find out that tonight, right? I mean, I think that you're right. I think we probably did put too much into one game. But, you know, you can talk about, well, they did this against them, and they did this against them, and they played them. But when you play each other, mm-hmm. I mean, that should be the number one thing you look at, right? That's why that's the number one tiebreaker in everything. Because when you stand on the field against each other, kind of find out who's what. So, yeah, I mean, we might be putting too much into it. I might be putting too much into it. But I'm telling you, man, I heard that everybody thought, well, Cincinnati, you never know, and they killed Cincinnati, and everybody now is on Georgia. So not everybody, but the smart people, I'll be the dumb guy, and I'll be on Alabama.
I'm dumb with you. I picked Alabama before we brought you on.
I better go to Georgia then.
Yeah. I mean, I want to pick Georgia so bad, but it's almost like picking against Tom Brady. You just know better at the end of the day not to pick against Saban. And then let's go to the college hoops this weekend. Man, a couple of really nice wins at home for the in-state schools with OSU knocking off Texas and then Oklahoma coming from behind against Iowa State. Maybe the arrival or the coming out party for Bijan Cortez from Kingfisher as a freshman. You know, he was the best player on the floor in the second half, and he only scored 4 points, but just the energy that he was able to provide. Talk about both of those games this weekend with the in-state schools pulling off upsets on their home floors.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Cortez because I said on TV last night that he reminds me, he's like a poor man's Josh Giddey. That's kind of what he is.
and then you've got big old hair like Giddy does, too, so it works out perfectly.
Yeah, no, he's a basketball player now. He knows what's going on around him. Really good win for OU. I think their coach has done an unbelievable job of putting together so many different people. And he can coach some offense now. I mean, he gets shots. You know, unlike what's going on up there in Stillwater, boy, they get good shots. So as long as, you know, one of the keys are you play good defense and you're sound and you get good shots, you're going to play with people. Now, we're going to see, you know, that they only had like 16 rebounds, I think, against Baylor. So they may have to work a little bit on that. But they're good, you know, they're a good basketball team. They should definitely be a tournament team. You finish fourth or fifth in this league, you're going to be a really good seed. So, very impressive win for OU. As far as OSU is concerned, great win. I think these kids are having a really hard time knowing that they're not really playing for anything because they got a lot of talent. But I got to tell you something, watching their games are about as bad as watching anything. That is just – Texas and OSU, they were both horrible. I know the other teams were playing good defense, but golly, guys, it's hard for me to watch that. It really is. I watched every second of that game and every second of the OU game, and that OSU game was almost impossible to watch. I don't know how you do. If you're not a fan or a sports talk show host, I don't know why you're watching the game. But it was a great win. But they got to figure out a way to do better on the half court offense. Their half court offense is just terrible. And the kid I like is Cisse. I think that kid, he really helps them a lot inside. He does some good things. And they just don't shoot. Obviously, Boone knocked down some great threes in this game, but they're just not a very good shooting team. Anderson hasn't been what he has been. They're just not as good as we thought they would be. But I think the mental aspect has really messed with them. But that's a good win, really good win. By the way, this week they go at West Virginia, at Texas Tech, and then at Baylor. That's a fun week.
Yeah, that was a must-win for Boynton and the Cowboys because of the mental side of it all. I think physically they're capable of winning these games. And I was questioning that myself coming into especially the conference play was, well, how motivated are they knowing that there is no pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. There's nothing really to play for other than pride. Do you think that kind of win could turn that around? Say, guys, we're still playing basketball and we're still capable of beating good teams?
I mean, after you celebrate the game and go home, when you get back to your room, you still believe, oh, yeah, well, that's great that we won, but, you know, what's it mean? I mean, I'm sorry. I hate to be the negative guy, but that's got to be what some of them think. So hopefully they'll just bring it, you know, and they can't even go to the Big 12 tournament. But it's a shame what the NCAA did to them. It's really, really a shame. But they worked hard yesterday, got a really good win. I'll tell you what, those fellas, Texas, my goodness, they could hit the broad side of the ball. There was some bad offense in that game. Wow.
It is. You talk about it a bunch, how hard it is to watch a lot of these college basketball games. And I think maybe that's why I know OU's had some times where they've struggled as well. But the last two, when you're talking about the defenses that Baylor and Iowa State came into the game with, Iowa State was like top five nationally. And to be able to run the offense and execute with that efficiency, I think they were 81% in the second half. It's just incredible. It's something that you just don't see in college basketball much anymore.
When you work for good shots, Skinny, I mean, you know, if you get good shots, these guys can make them. If you have bad shots, nobody makes them. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Porter Moser, he knows how to run off. He does. He's got people going here, going there, and they're getting good shots. Then you got some dudes that can really pass, obviously, like we saw with Cortez. So, they got it. They're going to beat some people. Again, they're not going to win the league, but they could very well finish. You finish fourth in this league, you might be a three seed.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be fun to watch them the rest of the year.
Yeah, the league is great. You know, you mentioned rebounding. He said on the post game, and I was driving home from our high school game, listening that they're 12-0 when they out rebound the opponent, and they're 0-3 when they don't. So he pointed right to that stat immediately when he was talking on the post game after that win against Iowa State. Well, Jim, thanks so much. Glad you made it through last night. I can't even imagine being a Steelers fan, watching that thing unfold the way that it unfolded, knowing what was on the line. And I thought, you know, Collinsworth even mentioned it. We may be watching Ben Roethlisberger's career end if nothing happens after those two field goals. Just a crazy night to be fans of any three of those teams that were involved.
Well, I'm ready for Ben Roethlisberger's career to end, but just not yet. You ever seen that movie? We just watched it the other night, Gladiator, where the guy goes, you can go see your family, but not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. So that's what I said, not yet. So, and we'll see. You know what? I mean, they're all going to go out on the field and play next week. I think the Steelers have a very, very small chance, but you know, they're saying I got a chance, so we'll see.
Yeah, they got a better chance than sitting at home, that's for sure.
By the way, yeah, that's right. I don't know. Does the Cleveland Browns have a chance to touch the game? I don't know. Do they?
No, them nor. Isn't it funny how quickly the Indianapolis Colts went from the team that nobody wanted to play 2 weeks ago to sitting on the couch in the first week of the playoffs?
That's right. The team that nobody wanted to play to the team that nobody has to play.
All right, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good one this afternoon.
All right. By the way, the podcast that's coming out today, real quick, is, I think, one of the best we've ever done. It's the third one of the girls. Have you listened to the girls yet?
We listened to the first one. We're up to, I guess, last week.
Okay, so the third one is today, and it is the one where our daughters ask us questions.
Oh,
and it
cool.
is really, really good. So the Julie and Jim Traber podcast, if you want to listen to it, it's pretty good stuff. So.
No doubt, man. Thanks so much, and have a great day, Jim.
All right, fellas. See you guys.
See you later. This is the Ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday. You know, we get this text a lot when we're talking to Jim right here. I love the Julie and Jim Traber podcast. It's really good. I mean, it's totally different than what we just did for the last, you know, 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more about
it's
everything
real.
Outside.
It's just real.
Of sports. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear the one with the girls asking them questions.
That's a great turning of the tables. I like that. That's cool.
No doubt. So you've got Bama.
I do. I do. Now listen.
You want to fire a score out there?
No. No, I'm horrible at that. But it's because, and he kind of nailed it, and it kind of reminded me of how people, forgive me because this is where I grew up, but how people approach Clinton. It wasn't necessarily the fact that sometimes Clinton would play a team that they were better than that team. It's that when that team saw the C on that helmet, they were beat.
Oh, yeah.
I think that that's a thing with Georgia and Alabama. If it was anybody else but Alabama, Georgia would win this thing hands down. But because it's Alabama and it's Nick Saban and they're going to go into the game tonight, and I think it's in their head. And I think Alabama knows it. And then on top of that, Alabama's motivated, very motivated because they're underdogs. That's why I'm sticking with Alabama.
Yeah, God, it is Alabama, and I couldn't agree. If it was anybody else, I would pick Georgia.
Yeah, but it's hard for me to. It's kind of like it's like Bedlam. You always pick OU until you know what I mean, because percentagely, it is. They win the game more often than not. Same thing here with Alabama. They win the big game more often than not.
Georgia hasn't beat them since 2007. That's only seven games. Alabama's won seven in a row.
So maybe it's their time. Maybe now this is the one game they finally get over the hump. But you know what's going to happen after this game? If Georgia were to win?
Alabama will be number one.
When Alabama's going to win the next 10. So,
man, I want to pick Georgia so bad.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. This is a business trip for them. They know how to do it.
I'm going to pick Georgia.
You're going with it.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Georgia against everything I know that is right in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Georgia. I'm going to ride with Kirby and Stetson. See, that just doesn't even sound right when you say it. You're riding with Stetson Bennett against Saban. Oh, boy.
Should be interesting. But
what do you think? Do you think Saban does a bunch of adjusting? Or does he just kind of say, you know what? We figured it out in the second quarter. Here's what we're going to do.
Why would you change anything that worked?
Well, sometimes you might think, okay, they're going to adjust here, so we need to adjust here. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.